Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. I'm here with my lovely wife, Dr. Alicia. How you doing today, babe?
I'm safe today. I feel very safe.
I feel today. Very safe.
How do you feel?
I'm a little traumatized.
Are you really? Oh, bless you.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Ooh, we had a crazy weekend. We're actually here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, home of Black Wall Street. And we had some really crazy stuff that happened this weekend. Some of y'all saw it on Instagram, that crazy car accident. It was a...
Bless you.
I keep sneezing.
It must be allergies here. You're not used to these allergens in Tulsa.
I don't know. I'm allergic to beauty.
And
you just making me sneeze, girl. You're just making me sneeze. Anyway, can you guys hear us okay? Let us know if you can hear us okay. Give us a yes in the chat if you can hear us okay. Also, shout out the city that you're from. Let us know what city you're from. We'll call you out. I see Michael Johnson from Chicago. Hey, Terrence Wilson, B1. Atlanta's Black Wall Street, B1 to you too. Hey, Arlizona, James Burton. He says the artist brain. That's interesting. James Keller, thanks for your service. Well, thank you, man. Thank you, Bro Smile. Shayla from Oakland, California. Brenda Davis, how you doing? Let's see, who else do I see in here? Brilliant Master. Oh, that's an interesting name. I like that. Rhonda Holmes, how are you? Hannah, good to see you. Hash Brown says Bitcoin to the moon. Yeah, well, you know, I'm buying Bitcoin, so you know, if that means anything to you, that is what I'm doing. Hey, Miss H, how are you? Oh, okay, good. Okay, I just want to make sure you guys can hear us. Okay, all right. So let's just start the conversation from the beginning, and I'm going to ask you all a question. How many of you all have seen or paid any attention to the really interesting words and actions recently of Kanye West? Give me a yes in the chat if you've been following any of this. Now, I want to make this clear. I want to start from the very beginning and make it clear. This is not a conversation just about Kanye West. Really, Kanye West and what he's going through is more of a template to really talk about mental health. It's really a template to talk about the trappings of fame and success. It's really a template to talk about the financial consequences of not having a peaceful parting from your partner. And I know, babe, you actually have done a lot of research on how to end relationships without things blowing up, without things going crazy. I mean, did you have any thoughts on that just to kind of start the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that when a relationship that's very important to you, like a marriage, when it's dissolving, it can bring out the worst in you. It can bring out sides of you. Like it things that you would never think that you'd ever do. You will do that in the middle of a divorce. And so you just have to give yourself a little grace about just stepping outside of who you are when you're under this level of stress. And there's a lot of things to manage. And I think on top of that, for Kanye West in particular and others who are in the spotlight, it just adds a little more stress on you because everybody knows everything about your business. Everybody knows there's comments on it. And so that makes it even worse. And even just for people who are going through things very stressful, you know, you got neighbors that are talking, your friends that are talking, everybody's weighing in on what they think should have happened or could have happened between you and your partner. And I really wish, and everybody has an opinion, and everybody wants to, they want your ear and they're telling you all these things. And from what we're seeing, and a great illustration from with Kanye West is that if you look at the comments people are making, is this, they're fueling the fire. They're mm-hmm. like, why is she doing that? She shouldn't do that. You should have total control over what's going on with your children and all of that. And so it's just, it makes it even worse. And I think the best thing you can do really is to sit down with the people who are important to you and make a plan on how you're going to do things. Know that, you know, emotions are running and your feelings are kind of erratic and everything hurts even more at this point. And just understand that about yourself, have compassion for it, but calm down, calm yourself down and make really, this is where you need to step into having great conversations with, you know, your partner or soon to be ex-partner. That's where you need to, that part is challenged and you have to have a plan going forward and not let people in your ear tear it all apart, because you know who wins? You know who wins, boys, when you can't get along?
Who wins?
Well, people like me, because you need to see, you need to have a mediator, you need therapy.
Right.
I don't want to win in that way. You know, I want to win where I'm helping people be together, but I win and lawyers win. The court system wins because you got to pay all this money out because you can't get it together. And so you just have to be careful and you have to be mindful in this situation. But it's kind of a double-edged sword because if you were the kind of person who could resolve things easily, you'd probably still be married to that person. So I think it is important to get a mediator. It is important to have some self-compassion through a tough time.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna stick a pin in the part where you said when you were talking about all the people that are following him, you know. And it's funny because you know I know that, and I knew we'd get some pushback from some people who when we told them that we were gonna hit this topic. And so there was a brother who said, who made a legitimate point. He said, "Why are you in this man's business? Why are you in this man's private business?" Yeah, and I said, "That's a good point." I said, "But this is not private business. He does not want it to be private business. If Kanye wanted this to be private business, he wouldn't have blasted out his private text messages to 30 million people." So that's the first thing. But then the second piece of it is, I'm looking at these fans, all these fans and stands out here who literally, they don't have a stake in Kanye's life. They don't care about his family. They don't have any authority or any sort of ability to really be objective in the situation. They're just cheering on anything that he says, anything that he does. You know, anything that he says, anything he does. If he said, I'm showing up to Kim's house and I got a gun in my pocket and I'm going to take everybody out, they'd be like, yeah, that's right. She shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have, you know, or he'll put up something that's really cryptic. Like some of his messages honestly don't even make any sense. This is why I wanted to tap into you with your mental health background, because some of the messages are just very odd and strange and cryptic. Like I don't know. Let me think. Well, that's not a bad one, actually. Let me see here. Here we go. Here's one about where he talks about dressing like it's hot in the wintertime. I'm a sweat before you catch me looking regular at the BET Awards. This nigga look at me, you know, and it was kind of like
we're in the middle of a conversation that we have no context. There's no context to it. It's just like statements. So I think what we're witnessing on Instagram,
like this one, here we go. Here's a good one. What are we doing? You haven't responded. Yeah. And I guess, and it says DC, so maybe that's DC Comics. So maybe he's hitting up DC, but still,
we don't know.
It's like there's these text messages, you know, and people don't even know. Like, you know, Ye will say something that is somewhat
who's
cryptic.
VC?
Do you know VC, a venture capitalist?
Ah, so that, dang. So that, so okay.
Now I get that, right? He's rebelling against the stake that venture capitalists take in creative art and, you know, and stuff like that. But some of the stuff that he says don't make no damn sense. Mm-hmm. Some of it, not that, now this statement, I can figure it out, right? But some
of it, could figure it out. I for sure couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, some of it doesn't make sense. And my point is to say that, you know, people, I look at the reactions of people, and there are people who just will hit the like button just because he's Kanye West, just because I like your last album. Any weird thing that you say or do, I'm going to just co-sign on it because I just want to be a Kanye West groupie. And I think that that is dangerous for everybody, especially Kanye and his kids, because these people don't love you. These people are not your friends. These people don't care about your kids. They don't care. They don't, if you go jump off a building tomorrow, which a lot of mental health professionals, I think, are very concerned about what they're seeing. If you go jump off a building tomorrow, these people ain't going to care. They're going to move on to the next artist.
Yeah. So the thing is, I think Kanye West has been away from social media for quite some time. Yeah. And now he's back on full force. So I think that what we're witnessing is a full blown manic episode.
Okay.
And I think this is just telling us, like, so when we know it's all dark on social media, he's probably pretty stable. And whatever happens when he has this episode is when he pulls his phone out and he just goes in again. And you could see it's a rant. It's a rant. He's ranting on social media.
And he posts a lot.
He'll go through what we'll see for, you know, probably the next couple of days, because that's about how long a manic episode takes for some people. And for him, I mean, it's really interesting. We really should pull a calendar out and be able to track it. We can probably track how he's cycling through these manic episodes. And he himself said he's bipolar. So we're just using his words. Mm. I mean, this is fitting what his words were. And so that's what we're witnessing. And the thing is that I'm, you know, when I see this on social media, I'm just so concerned for him. I think that he's under a lot of stress, boys. Mm. Like when I see, yeah. when I read his messages, I'm seeing a man who seems to be desperately seeking some support. He really believes that when Gap had a meeting without him to talk about him, he really feels as if they're out to get him in some way. They're out to undermine him. He honestly feels this way. Mm. And it is very stressful to him. And so he just feels like, and there's probably some people around him who are telling him, hey, you know what, Kanye, this goes with this, this goes, this is what happens when corporations are in a collaboration with anybody. They always have meetings, strategy meetings about how to go forward without that person that they're talking about in the room. This is really just what, this is what's happening. So I'm imagining there's people close to him who are trying to temper some of this. To say, you know what, let's not jump to conclusions. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that they're having this meeting and this is what they need to do. And that let's us have our meeting where we talk about Gap. Let's do all of that. And then we can come together and come up with a nice, simple arrangement of it can be a win-win situation for both of us. This is how business runs. I'm sure there's people around him saying that, but he's not listening to them. He's saying, oh, no, they're out to get me. You know, it could be interpreted as some level of paranoia. And but if you're paranoid, you're not going to be able to see that you're paranoid, because then you wouldn't be paranoid, you know. And so he really thinks this, that they're out to get him. Not only is he having a stressful time with Gap, it seems like he's having a stressful interaction with Adidas, apparently.
Oh, and Kim.
And he's having a stressful time,
I mean,
with, you know, his ex-wife at this point.
Kim has diarrhea a lot, like way more than a normal person should have it.
Okay, so this is not like, why? Like, why say that? And so now Kim is out to get him. Adidas is out to get him. The Gap is out to get him. Who else? Venture capitalists are out to get him.
Yeah.
So this is stressful for him. Like, it is honestly a stressful moment for Kanye West. He's not having a good time right now.
Everybody, in case you just walked in, you're listening to Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I'm a PhD in finance, and so I'm always interested in things that involve Black wealth. And Kanye has talked about being a beacon of Black wealth, and I respect that about him. Kanye and I did talk on the phone. We talked about wealth. He told me he was worth $4 billion. We talked about how we both love Powernomics. And so the conversation I might have about him is more one of concern for my brother as opposed to cheering him on. You know, I'm not a fan. I don't care about, you know, what the fans have to say per se, because I think that the fans will destroy you. The fans in the stands will ruin you, man. So, you know, I hope that you will get the help that you need, because I don't think this is the best way to handle things. Now, if you want to know why my wife is here, not just because she's a co-host of Pillow Talk, but she is a licensed therapist. She's been practicing therapy for 20 years. She can identify things like manic episodes. She works with couples. She can help in terms of figuring out relationships. And so these are things that we observe all the time in the Black community. And one of the things that I can say, Alicia, is that I really... I'm not putting all this on Kanye, because I've seen it with a lot of guys on the internet. It really bothers me, I think, when you have men over 40 who say and do things that just come off very juvenile. You know, I think that the world cheers that on. I think all those assholes on Kanye's Instagram page, I'm not going to call them assholes. I'm sorry. That was me. But just seriously, I call them that because these are people that don't care nothing about the Black community. They don't care nothing about the Black family. They don't care nothing about his plight as a Black father. They're just cheering him on because they like his album. That's it. If he did not have albums, they would not care. If he was a regular Black man, they would not care. I know a lot of brothers. I know a million brothers who are going through painful divorces, got their kids taken, can't pay the child support. They don't care nothing about these guys, but they like Kanye because they like his fashion, they like his music or whatever. And I will just tell you, you know, this, like this comment about Kim. Kim has diarrhea a lot, like way more than a normal person should have it. What does that do for you as a dad? Like, what the hell does that do? Is that going to make, give me a yes or no in the chat. I need everybody to answer this question. Yes or no. Do you think that Kanye's children are going to respect him more because he made comments like this about their mother? Do you think they're going to respect him more? Give me a yes or no. Or do you think they're going to respect him less? Seriously. You know, don't get me wrong. I get it. Marriage can be hard. Divorce sucks. Losing your kids sucks. You know, but the thing is that we have this hip-hop culture that encourages black men to act like goddamn children. And so when you get out, your mama got diarrhea. Ha ha. This nigga got diarrhea. that don't make you look good, man. That makes you look corny. That makes irrational people say, well, damn, okay, now I understand why she had to go. Now I understand why she's got to take the kids. And that ain't right. That ain't true. We know that's not true. We know that's not true. But the idea that you even post this to 30 million people, this is a manifestation and a creation of a culture gone toxic. This is the reflection of a hip-hop culture that is just stupid. It's anti-family. It's anti-black people. It's anti-black man. It's anti-masculinity. It's ridiculous. So what I would say to Kanye, if I was talking to him, I'd be like, man, take that shit down now, please. Let's focus on doing what's right for your kids. Man, let's focus on you leaving this situation with your dignity. Let's talk about why, if you want me to really be honest, why marrying a Kardashian is not a good idea when you got so many amazing, intelligent black women who are just like your mama Donda. I don't even understand that. It was the culture that made you think that marrying a Kardashian was going to lead to anything other than a Kardashian-like existence for your children. Your wife was in Playboy. Your daughters could be in Playboy. Your wife and your wife's siblings were all doing all kinds of ridiculous stuff just to get attention. Now your daughter's right in the middle of that culture, and you're only alienating the kids and making them embrace that culture more when you act like this. So I'm not dogging it. I'm just being honest and saying, come on, man. There's mature ways that a 42-year-old father should be handling things, but unfortunately, it's like when you're a rapper, all the rules, all the bets are off. Like now that you're a rapper, you can say things that an 18-year-old would say. You know, I'm not a fan of that. I'm a fan of black men trying our best to be grown-ass men, but I get it. I understand. It's painful. It's hard. It sucks. The life ain't fair. People don't respect fathers' rights and all that. But there's an element where I think we all have to draw the line, and I'm drawing that line and just saying, come on, man, there's a better way to do this. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think I agree with you totally. And you know, when you know that you suffer with a mental health issue, it's important to have trusted people around you that can keep you grounded. They can be with you as a source of support. Mental health professionals. And it's too bad because I know that his children are probably seeing these rants and seeing him say terrible things about their mother, who they're very well connected to. I mean, if you see them, they seem to be very bonded with their mother. And I think it's just too bad. And I know right now the children don't understand what's going on, but I'm hoping that when they get older and they become a little more keen about mental health problems and what it looks like in the person, I'm hoping that they can look back on that and say, you know what, my father was having an episode, you know, and so to give their father a little grace in terms of things like that, he's not behaving in a way that is truly him, because Kanye West as a person probably knows the right thing to do. But when you're having an episode, you're having an episode, you know, your behavior is going to be really erratic. And the sad part about it is that bipolar is such a curable disease. Mm. You know, it's a disease of the brain. There are treatments for it that actually work. Like, but if you have bipolar, if you know someone who has bipolar, it is so manageable. And I don't know what type of treatment he's getting, but whatever it is, it doesn't seem like it's working. And I know he said he was not going to use any of his medications, that he was going to do his own holistic sort of treatment. I agree with that. I kind of love the fact that he's taking advantage of alternative treatments. ways of treatment, but I don't think it's working. I think he needs a different type of strategy. I don't know who's around him that's helping him. I don't know what type of therapist he's involved with, but whatever it is, they need to be concerned. I'm concerned at the rapid rate of his episodes. I'm concerned that this will end very poorly for him in a way that could be possibly damaging. And the issue is this, that when people have bipolar and you're not managing it properly, it's going to get worse. It's going to actually develop into full-blown schizophrenia, where you have delusions, you have hallucinations, auditory and visual hallucinations. Yeah. You know, that's problematic. So his future is so bright, but his future is in his hands. And I'm just like cringing as I'm looking at some of the things he's doing, because I just see it being very self-destructive.
Well, you know, I see, you know, everything you're saying makes sense. And I'm gonna tell you what, I looked up what a manic episode looks like. I'm assuming you'll agree with me that you're not, what is it, that you guys can't really diagnose a patient without actually seeing them. So this
well,
is
he a, said he was diagnosed with bipolar.
Okay.
So we have to say he was in the hospital, remember, okay. And that's what they diagnosed him.
So here's what the definition of mania, for those of you that are curious, and those of you that are really listening for concern and to learn and understand things, and to understand things that happen in your own family. You know, it's hard being a Black man, and I can only imagine the amount of pressure there must be being a Black man who's married to a Kardashian, who's being seen by the entire world. So I think those who are listening, I hope you'll listen with empathy and understanding, but also to obtain knowledge. A lot of us, in fact, give me a yes or no. How many of y'all in the chat have a relative or two that you feel has a mental health issue? Give me a yes or no if you come from what might be defined as a Black family among the millions of us who have mental health issues in our family. Give me a yes or no. It's everywhere, right? So here's the definition of mania. Mania is a condition in which you, this is from the Cleveland Clinic, by the way. Mania is a condition in which you display an over-the-top level of activity or energy, mood, or behavior. That's the first sentence. An over-the-top level of activity or energy, mood, or behavior. How many of y'all feel that you might have seen some of this from Kanye at some point? Let me keep reading. It says, this elevation must be a change from your usual self and be noticeable by others. Symptoms include feelings of invincibility, like Jesus, like I'm the Son of God, mm-hmm. Lack of sleep, racing thoughts and ideas. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kanye's such a genius, you know, and you see he tweets a lot. He Instagrams mm-hmm. constantly. A rapid talking and having false beliefs or perceptions. That's what mania is. And you said you said that he diagnosed himself, or that he actually
no,
said
he was in the hospital, and when he came when he was released from the mental unit in the hospital, that was the diagnosis that they gave him. Now that doesn't mean that that's an accurate diagnosis, because diagnoses are always kind of, you know, here or there. But it seems as if that's what he does have. I mean, did he write a song about it? I have bipolar. I think it was in a song. So he publicly talks about it. He admits that he has that he has bipolar, and we're witnessing an episode. And I'm just worried because you know, when you fluctuate from the depression state, so that's a manic episode. And so to have bipolar, he probably also has a very depressive episode. And I was real concerned because I saw some pictures of Kanye West where he looked like he hadn't been, his face was full. It looked like he hadn't shaved in a while. He had holes in his clothes. He didn't seem like he was carrying himself well. I saw his self-care diminish in a way. And so I was real concerned leading up to this whole manic episode. There were some pictures out about him, where he wore black every day. Every time you saw him, he wore black. His hoodie was up over his head. And I saw the picture, and I think I came to you and I said, boys, this is not good. Something's going on with him. Mm. And so that was a sign that he was in this depressive state. So, you know, You swing from this manic episode, and then you'll go down to the depressive state of a depressive episode. And when you have those rapid swings, that's when you're more likely to harm yourself. You're more likely to just not think clearly about things. So, so that was the one thing I was real concerned about. His appearance didn't seem like he was grooming. His self-grooming and self-care seemed to be really diminishing.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, by the way, everybody, in case you just tuned in, you're listening to Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. I'm a finance professor. My wife is a therapist and a full professor of social work. If you'd like to get a free e-copy of my book, Financial Lovemaking, you can actually go to boyceandalicia.com. Also there, Alicia, she loves matchmaking, and she's actually creating a database of Black singles, good people who want to get together. If you are one of those people and you want to be on the database for free, just go to boyceandalicia.com. The URL is right there. And we're all about love and money and intelligent Black people, what it means to be intelligent, what it means to figure out your way through life, what it means to have healthy, healthy relationships, and also a healthy life and a wealthy life, health, wealth, and relationships. That's what matters. So hit the thumbs up button, thumbs up, share, subscribe. All right. So we're talking about Kanye West and this interesting thing that's going on Instagram, where I've been following Kanye on Instagram and kind of noticing he's been struggling. You know, I think divorce, it's interesting. So we know about the bipolar disorder. It's been discussed before. And you, based on your expertise, can identify some symptoms of what could be a manic episode. One thing I will say is shame on the culture, shame on these people that are on his page that are just cheering on anything that he does. I hope that there are people out there that actually have enough concern to be able to step in and say, look, this is not cool. And I think also when you're talking about a Black man saving his family, staying connected to his kids, I want brothers to understand this ain't how you do it. You know, attacking a child's mother is literally the fastest way to get your kids to hate you. You know, seriously, this is just man to man. I'm a little older than Kanye. Kanye's 45, but he should know better at 45. And I'm just going to tell anybody out here listening, if you ever want to make your children hate you, attack their mother in front of them, and they'll never talk to you again. So to some extent.
Oh, yeah, because if you're making fun of my mother, you're making fun of me. Mm. If you don't love my mother, you don't love me. Mm. It's a personal attack, especially if they're connected to their mom or connected to their dad. Like, moms, don't be talking mess about you about you know, the father of your children, because it's insulting. Because you're half of my dad is half of me. So if you're talking bad about my dad, it's not a conscious thing people do. It's unconscious. But it still, it creates a division. And if you want your child to feel loved, you have to show love and compassion to your partner.
Well,
for sure.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, I think that that's really true. I mean, I think, I just think that all of us, it's like all of us need to take a class on relationships before we ever date anybody. Like, you know, and to some extent, some cultures have a little bit of this where they have things like the debutante balls and all that to teach young people how to engage with each other in an appropriate way at an early age. And before the debutante ball, you get trained mm-hmm. on how to be a lady. You get trained on how to be a man, whatever that means to that culture. And we don't have that no more. We just have people get together, they start having sex or whatever, start making babies and start fucking up the kids. And it's ridiculous, you know. Mm-hmm. But then to me, I think anybody who wants to understand how to date in the right way and achieve the right results, take a class on that, read a book on that, learn about it. You know, you learn about all this other crap in school that isn't going to help you, but bad relationships will destroy you. So why wouldn't you spend as much time learning how to have healthy relationships as you spend learning the periodic table?
Well, it's really complicated, Boyce, because a lot of what we learn is what we saw growing up in our own households.
True that.
So we were learning 18 years of what ain't supposed to happen between two people. And when you grow up, you think it's normal. You think it's normal. When I get mad at somebody, I'm just going to throw a shoe at them. You think that's normal. You think it's normal that when my kids start acting up, I'm going to take this belt and I'm going to beat them with a belt. You think that's normal. You think it's normal to lie and to cheat, and to your whole brain in terms of what relationships look like is skewed. Mm. to things that are toxic because you grew up in a toxic household. And therefore, when you get older, you're like, this is normal to me, you know, and you're having a high level of stress. So part of it is very difficult because 18 years of what you've learned since you, let's just say you leave the house at 18, how are you going to turn that back around? And when subconsciously you were receiving messages about what relationships look like, and it wasn't, you know, that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. That's not healthy.
That's interesting. That's it. So a lot of our relationship training comes from what we saw in the house.
It's what you see.
Yeah. And that's crazy. You know, and I would say that if you grew up in a kind of relationship in your, you know, if your parents had the kind of relationship you don't want to have, then you got to learn, you got to relearn, you have to re-educate yourself on how to have the right kind of relationship, or your relationships will end up the same way. And I think that's a good point. You know, I mean, I just think about that, right? If you think about it from a common sense standpoint, I believe if somebody asked me, well, how do you educate a child? I would say, I want you to think, imagine your child's life at the age of 30. What's going to matter to that child? They're going to need to learn. They're going to need to know how to make money. They're going to need to be able to be healthy mentally and physically. They're going to need to learn how to have healthy relationships with the people around them. That's it, including themselves. So give them, teach them all of that. Take classes on all of that. There's classes you could take on how to manage your own mental health. There's stuff, books you can read on how to manage your relationship, you know, how to be married, how to be a father, how to be a husband, how to deal with your crazy teenage kids, how to deal, you know, how to deal with divorce, even in breakups. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, you had a whole course, a whole module on how to even break up properly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a peaceful way to break up. And there's a way for you to, what is it called? Uncouple. You can go through an uncoupling. Yeah, I think we should call it that.
We decoupled.
We uncoupled. And uncoupled. I think it is, okay. It is a better, it's a better word for divorce or, you know, dissolving things. You can uncouple with somebody. And I just think that's just way a greater way to do that.
We terminated the partnership. I think you're right. And so really going back, and by the way, Alicia's website is coachingwithdralicia.com. So if you want to see some of the stuff she does, it's really good work. So feel free to go take a look. And she sees couples, but she also actually teaches this kind of thing. So feel free to go take a look at that. But it's, you know, just kind of going back to, you know, like this, the Kanye Kim thing. I think that the reason I felt compelled to speak about this as a Black man is because I feel like Black men that look up to rappers are getting a really bad example on how you decouple properly, how you end a relationship the right way. I hate this culture sometimes. I love rap music. I can tell you all about the best lyrics and all this stuff. And this week I was, you know, even yesterday I did a whole podcast about T.I. and Kanye and how they're dealing with the same kind of things. They're both, you know, coming of age and they're in their 40s. I guess T.I. is almost 40 now. And they're dealing with things that fathers deal with, you know. And unfortunately, both of them as fathers are dealing with the consequences of a culture that they helped to create. They poured into this culture. You know, T.I. poured into the stripper hoe culture and the gangster culture and all that. Now his son wants to be a gangster. He's worried about his daughter being, you know, sexually exploited by men who thought the way he did 15 years ago that were influenced by the music that was being put out in terms of things that we said about women at that time.
And some of his own music. Let's just call him out on it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad because these two guys are two of the most talented artists of all time. But the thing is, I think that we got to understand that talent isn't everything. You know, that white man that runs that record label, he'll get you to rap about killing your own mother if it'll make him a dollar. You know, those people that run this industry, they don't care nothing about your community. They don't care nothing about your kids. They want your daughter on the pole. They want your son on the corner. They want your other son in prison. They want your other children to be dead. They want your other kids to be hooked on drugs. And they will pay you. They will pay your Black ass $10 trillion to go and destroy your own people. And I'm not saying these guys have done that. I'm not putting it all on T.I. and Kanye. But what I'm saying is God has a way of making your chickens come home to roost. Yeah. Karma is a very real thing. Things do go full circle. So when you are now a 40-year-old T.I. and you're like, damn, how do I keep my son from wanting to be a thug and wanting to go to jail? Well, you got to hit the rewind button and look back and say, well, what was I encouraging young people to do when I was 25 years old? The same thing with Kanye. Kanye's like, I don't want my daughter posing in Playboy. I don't want my daughters doing porn like they mama. Well, who did you pick to be your daughter's mama? The The mama is the number one role model, dog. Seriously, I'm not being mean. I promise you, I'm not trying to be mean. But the mama is the role model. Is she not? Is the mama not the number one role model of a young daughter? So when you decided that you like those big fake Kardashian booties and decided I'm going to get me a Kardashian instead of a Donda, then you kind of signed the death certificate. I'm not going to call it that, but you kind of signed and sealed the outcomes of what your children might be influenced to want to be. If he had married a young Donda, his daughters will be trying to go and become college professors. And I'm not dissing. I promise I'm not. But somebody got to tell the damn truth, because everybody's out here lying and cheering people on just because they had a number one album. I can't do that. You go ahead, please.
Okay. So the thing,
I'm having a manic episode.
You're having a manic episode. Please. Listen, I do not want to deal with that. It is enough stress already, boys. I do not need a manic episode on top of this. Don't you dare. Okay, so the thing is, listen, he's already married Kim. He's already divorced Kim. He's already has four children with Kim. He has to accept the reality that he cannot control everything that's happening when those kids are not in his presence, unless he can prove that those beautiful children are being physically or psychologically harmed in some way. He can't control what's happening over there. And it's tough because he's probably thinking, you know, he's seeing things on social media, he's hearing things from people here and there. But unless you can absolutely substantiate that with clear evidence, he has to come to terms with the fact that that's who he married. That's who he has children with. And he just needs to manage it. He has to take advantage of when those children aren't in his care, that he cares for them and loves them as much as possible. He has to refrain from saying negative comments about their mother. You know what? He should just walk out the room and vent to somebody. That's where you need support system. Someone that can keep you grounded, to know that the children don't need to hear that. You go out and you find somebody you can vent to, a therapist or a trusted friend, or you can vent to, and then you can get your shit together and come back in the room and be a father to your children. It's just, it's acceptance for him because he can't control. And then, you know, by the way, I don't want to defend Kim, but I just don't. This isn't just not for Kim Kardashian I'm defending. This is for all of us who have a past. A lot of us have a past. We've done things that, you know, that we wouldn't have wanted to do in our past. But there's a mature development that happens in people when they get married and have children. You know, they get married, they have children, they leave their 20-year-old self behind. And so you just leave. That video was what, how many years ago? It was a long time ago. But I'm not saying that just for Kim. I'm saying that for all of us. You know, just because men and women who are listening to this, just because you did some things in your past that were less than ideal, you can shed the old you and become whoever you want to become for the sake of your children. So maybe you did some things that were immature back when you were immature, but you shouldn't be measured by it. If someone had a video recording and recorded you, boys, back when you were in your 20s, for sure, they would have had some moments where you were less than the person you are now. So I think also we have to just give it an understanding that, you know, people grow and develop, and they should be judged based on how they're now functioning now and not judged on their past. I think that, you know, even though, I mean, you talked about the fact, we just talked about the fact that what you saw growing up, you know, influences how you see relationships, but it doesn't have to influence how your future relationships operate. You can change who you are. Change is possible.
Yeah, I believe you can change who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that that is certainly true and fair in any case, not just with Kim and Kanye, but just with anybody. And I think also we shouldn't be shackled by the choices of our past. Mm-hmm. You know, just like, for example, when I was talking about, you know, some of the musical influences of T.I. and Kanye, and how they're both sort of facing the challenge of dealing with their children being influenced by the very culture that they were pouring into. I think that that is something that does deserve grace in terms of saying, okay, I get it. You're older now. You see things different. That makes sense. And one of the distinctions that I made yesterday, I did a whole hour-long podcast about it. If anybody wants to check it out, it's on drboystv.com. I was referencing the difference between glorifying a certain culture versus versus expressing regret in an educational framework so that young people can learn, like, yeah, this is what I did, but this ain't what you want to do. You know, I compare, you know, just to make sure people knew I didn't dislike T.I. because he's one of my favorite rappers. And I've met him too. I met T.I. and Kanye. You know, I said, look, my father has a lot of the same characteristics as T.I. He's a short little guy that, you know, that's a little badass, you know, that's always kind of gotten up in people's faces. He's always had the tough guy persona, a little bit the Black Napoleon thing going on. Uh-huh. And very charismatic. The ladies always loved him, just like they love T.I. and all that. I said, but my father would talk about stories from the street. And he, every single thing, you know, that a lot of these guys have experienced, my father could tell a similar story, whether it's guns getting pulled out or drugs or women or whatever. And every single time growing up, my father told me those stories. He always told them in a way that never glorified any of that.
Exactly.
He never mm-hmm. talked about getting high as mm-hmm. if that's something I want to do. He talked about getting high as you don't ever want to be trapped by drugs. Drugs will make you a slave. Don't do what I did. Or he, you know, or when he talked about the thug life, you know, something happened with somebody pulling a gun out or whatever. He never talked about it like, yeah, this is how you prove you're a real nigga. You go out here, you pull out your strap on a mother. He never did that. He'd be like, well, you want to avoid certain situations that might get you sent to jail or sent to the morgue. You know, it was always educational. My father was, he could have been a college professor because he would just, and he educated me in a very raw, real, direct way to the point where I made certain choices that were beneficial because he would, I learned from him, like, don't do what I did. But then when you have music that talks about dealing drugs, like that's like the littest lifestyle you could have.
Mm-hmm. That makes trap music.
Yeah, or trap music. Mm-hmm. Like we are celebrating the trap, and you ain't real if you ain't in the trap. You ain't no real if you ain't never done this, this, and this. Well, what makes me feel bad is I feel sorry for like those 20-year-old kids who end up getting 40 years in prison for trap-like behavior, and they don't learn until after they go to prison. That there's a whole other side to that. There's a whole dark side to that. And when you're dealing with that dark side of those choices, there's all those fans, all those people that were cheering you on when you was in the street acting like a damn fool. None of those fans are going to come visit you in jail.
They're not real.
Now, one of them is going to put money on your books when you up at Alcatraz or wherever. I don't know if that Pelican Bay or something. Yeah. Ain't none of those people. Tell me if y'all know what I'm talking about. Give me a guess if you get what I'm saying. None of those people who cheered you on when you were acting like a criminal and a lunatic, none of those people that were cheering on your behavior are going to come through and have your back when you really need them, when you're dealing with the consequences.
Yeah, and it's the same for female rappers who are just so promiscuous and hypersexual and just all of those negative stereotypes of Black women. Then that's not who we are. Mm-mm. That's not who we are at all. It's the same thing there. And so when you're sitting there with five kids and by five different people, because that's what the culture supported, that's what the culture said you're supposed to do, get this paper. And I don't know. Honestly, I can't even talk like that. I don't even know what it is. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm just, paper, it's just dog. My age. That's all it is. But the thing is that those messages, I mean, you know, the messages I got was counter to a lot of those things. Mm. It just, you know, I was supported in a different way. But the thing is that, yeah, you know, one thing my mom told me, she was like, you know, one day you have to be careful what you do, because one day you're going to have children and your children are going to hear some of the rumors of you when you were younger. And just her telling me that kind of kept me in line a little bit. I have to think about the fact that when I grow up, I'm going to see these same people I went to high school with. And I have to be able to look at them and not like become embarrassed, because people talk. They're like, ooh, your mama did all sorts of stuff back in the day. Ooh, your mama did this and did that.
Let me tell you what your mama did in 1999. Well, you know what?
How embarrassing.
And speaking on that, you know, like, and the thing, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing where we got to just keep it in context as Black people. Understand this all, a lot of this links to white supremacy.
Yeah, it does.
Like they love to see a Black man act like a little boy or act like a little girl or just be ignorant. They love that. They don't want the Black man to really be a man. And that's why even in movies, they'll portray the Black man as the sidekick or the buffoon. And the white guy will be the hero, right? So, and then for the Black woman, they love those Mammy Jezebel stereotypes. They don't want to see no Black woman thinking. They want to see a Black woman twerking. In fact,
did you see Tiffany Haddish?
She-Hulk Attorney at Law. This new Disney show, the She-Hulk, they had Megan Thee Stallion on there, and she's teaching her how to twerk.
Oh.
In her, she literally came to her law office to show her how to twerk. Mm-hmm. So the She-Hulk is learning how to twerk from the black woman. And that's literally the limitation of what they see in terms of what they see the black woman being able to do. And I think that that is a type of racism that we're all affected by. And we have to be conscious of it, because when they elevate certain behavior as model behavior, we have to understand this. There's a history to this. This is what they used to do to Native Americans when they wanted Native American people to basically be brainwashed and to be trained to act white. And when they wanted to basically enslave their minds to get them to let go of their true culture, they would go to the villages and they would grab the children and they would take them to a white school and teach them all these things that were foreign to their people. And then they would give them lots of money so that the other Native American children would look up to them. They'd be like, well, why would I want to be like my father, Sitting Bull, who knows all the tribal traditions? He's broke. I want to be like this dude because he got all the bread. So we look at these rappers or whatever, and we're like, oh, they got all the bread, so I want to be like them. Why would I want to be like my mother, who studies hard every day and got a doctorate? Well, I don't want to be like my father, who works hard every day and it is a solid man. No, I want to be like this rapper, because this rapper just showed me a Bentley and a Benz and 50 gold chains that he bought that makes me think that I'm going to be somebody, when the reality is that you're just going to be a big slave and a clown at the same time.
Yeah, it's the Willie Lynch in its fullest form. And it's interesting because, you know, that's how Tiffany Haddish began her career.
Oof.
Let's just face it. She began Tiffany. Her career playing those stereotypes, the hypersexual female. She was, ooh, and what was a girl's trip? She's trying to get some on a girl's trip. And she was being loud. And she was being, you know, just, you know, white people loved her. The louder and the more ghetto she was acting, people really loved her. But then when she starts talking about Claude Anderson, and, you know, you notice that a lot of her content is changing. Here we go with this allegation.
Oh, that's real. That is such a good point you made. Because you are right. I mean, Tiffany, let me tell y'all about Tiffany Haddish. And actually, before I move on, do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. You're watching Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. And by the way, if you want a free e-copy of my book, Financial Lovemaking, you can get a copy by going to boyceandalicia.com. We also have a Black Love Challenge. We have a Black Matchmaker database Alicia's putting together, as well as lots of information on mental health, financial health, and all the things that will make your life better. So so you can go to boysandalicia.com, or you could also check out Alicia's practice at coachingwithdralicia.com. I'll leave that on the screen. So let's talk about Tiffany Haddish. Now, give me a yes or no in the chat. Give me a yes or no. How many of y'all saw the crazy allegations that came out against Tiffany Haddish and Ari Spears, you know, two comedians that are just kind of getting slammed right now publicly? Give me a yes or no if you saw any of this. There's a big lawsuit apparently right now claiming that Tiffany and Ari, basically what they call grooming. They allegedly groomed two young children.
And did you see the video?
Yeah.
And it seemed like that's exactly what was happening.
Had them do a really disturbing
video. It was very disturbing.
Yeah, that was not funny. And it was messed up. And I just hated to see it. And let me tell you why I hated to see it. And I'd like to get your thoughts on that. I'd like to circle back on what you were saying about the Tiffany and what, you know, what's kind of happening. So here's what's interesting to me. It's not so much the allegation, right? Which, again, I think innocent until proven guilty, all that. I think that needs to apply. I really believe that. However, and also we know, let's just keep it 100. We know Hollywood is known for shenanigans when it comes to children. I would not send my child to Hollywood without bodyguards, like, just because we know what goes on in Hollywood. So this kind of stuff's everywhere. Now, whether Tiffany and Ari ever participated in any of this, I don't know, but y'all know Hollywood, the reputation. So here's the thing with Tiffany. I used to be very frustrated with Tiffany Haddish, as you were, because she played a lot of these crazy stereotypes. She would get on, you know, every show she would joke about wanting to suck a white man's blah, 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 or, you know, just things like that. She kind of did a comedic version of what Lizzo does, as, you know, in terms of just hypersexualizing herself, degrading herself in a way that fits a minstrel show, you know. And but then here's the thing. Here's what's interesting. This is what made me kind of have to shift a little bit. Tiffany Haddish went out of her way to support Dr. Claude Anderson. She went out of her way to say that she is a big fan of Powernomics. There's a video. Actually, I'm on the video with her, and Charlamagne the God is on the video, and we're all wishing Dr. Anderson a happy birthday. And Tiffany talked about how she found out about Powernomics, I think, from Charlamagne. They got on a private jet. They went down to see Dr. Anderson. She's a big supporter of Powernomics. And then, boom, right after that, right after she's kind of emerging as being super pro-Black and trying to become conscious, suddenly, you know, you got all this, right? And now what's interesting, too, with Ari Spears, and I'm not saying it's a conspiracy theory, maybe it's all a coincidence, but y'all know
talking about
a
Lizzo.
Week ago, Ari Spears challenged Lizzo. He challenged Lizzo in the idea that you are out here, you know, acting like a fool. And everybody's cheering you on. And I'm going to tell you, I did a survey. I've done several surveys of the people on this platform. The overwhelming majority of the people on this platform do not like what Lizzo represents. A lot of y'all like her talent, but don't like all the shenanigans that come with it. She, unfortunately, is a great singer who has made herself into a clown. And Ari Spears called that out. So, boom, a week later, Tiffany and Ari look like they're being taken down. Now, does this mean they didn't do it? I don't know. Does this mean that it's a coincidence or a conspiracy? I have no idea, but it is kind of coincidental that it all happened right now.
Yeah, it's very coincidental. And I mean, the thing is, we were talking about mental health issues. I mean, people with manic episodes, Hollywood is just chugged with people with bipolar disorders, you know, in Hollywood. Because think about it, when you're in your manic episode, you're more creative. You're more, you come up with the best ideas when you're in that manic episode. So it's interesting. It just highlights what is basically the norm. I mean, think about Nina Simone had bipolar. Even Robin Williams had it. Like a lot of our famous people, music artists, I could just name them, you know, till the cows come home, had manic disorder, but it wasn't ever, you know, shown in this way, right? And so the same thing with pedophilia. I mean, pedophilia in Hollywood, it's just pedophilia, Hollywood, that goes right together, like hands in glove. Well, and they're making fun of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hollywood is a weird place. And I think that there's like a lot of unspoken secrets. You know, like you've had major child celebrities come out later, do full documentaries, tell their whole story, and nobody listens.
Well, what was interesting, remember the car accident, what was her name? The name of the lady, and she died in a car accident. She was going full speed and she ran into that building.
I know you're talking about. I forgot her name though.
Some white lady that was, may she rest in peace. I can't remember her name.
Don't call her some white lady.
I don't know, but I don't, she is, but I'm just, you know, because right at the same time, there was a black lady who ran into a bunch of people. It was like the same day. But the thing is that, you know, during that time, you know, a lot of people are now talking about, that's interesting that her car just happened to run into this building, you know, and it blew up because she was actually doing a documentary on pedophilia in Hollywood.
What?
She was in the, you didn't read that?
Wait, Anne Hesh? Anne Hesh, the lady that died, was doing a documentary No.
She was doing a documentary about pedophilia in Hollywood. Look that up, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So at the very least, and y'all give me a yes in the chat if you agree with me on this. At the very least, if Tiffany and Ari did any of these things, which I think has to be proven, you know, they're probably not the only ones. You know, I would say, and give me yes, you agree. I'm going to think that they're
probably. There's a ton of pedophiles that don't go down. Look at Woody, what's his name? I can't remember.
Woody Allen
married his daughter. Married his daughter. And then,
well, you have the whole thing with Roman Polanski.
But
I feel like, here's the thing. I feel like that's the surface, though. I feel like that's just scratching the surface. I think it goes so deep in Hollywood. I believe that Hollywood is just this place that's just, it's fascinating because they were able to figure out how to get enough money and power to capture the imaginations of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But beneath all that is like this debauchery. So they're always trying to sprinkle their debauchery into films in order to shift our thinking, to get us to think differently about certain things, whether it's things that relate to sexuality or things that relate to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and every now and then they'll go too far. Like you'll see them make a joke about cocaine, And those cocaine jokes don't make me comfortable. But I think that they make that joke about it because for them it's funny because a lot of people use cocaine.
Yeah, but when you laugh about it, it does something to your subconscious mind when you laugh about it.
What does laughter do to your subconscious?
It's programming. It's like allowing this to penetrate in a way where you resonate with it and it's funny. And, mm-hmm. and it's almost like you're allowing these things to happen. That's why that Tiffany Haddish and that Aerie Spears was it both of them together in that video that made that video. Like they're making fun of child abuse. They're making fun of pedophilia. They think that's funny. You yeah. know, they're making fun of those things and it's not funny. And you're not trying to, it's not a public, what is it called? A public service announcement. It's not, it's really a whole video of something extremely disturbing. And who would, what is the mind of somebody that would think of something like that?
Yeah, like the whole skit, I saw like snippets of it and it was heavily censored, which I'm glad that they did that.
Yeah,
I don't want to see none of that. But it's like they would have Aerie, like basically it was like Tiffany was like the hoochie mama, single mom who wanted to always wanted to drop her child off to her brother's house. So she would ask her brother to babysit her four-year-old son, and he would just kind of do these little things where he would sneakily try to look at the little boy while he was playing or while he was in the bathtub and stuff like that. And it was supposed to, I guess they're trying to be funny. And at the end they said, be careful who you leave your kids with. And I think that that is it. I think that their biggest, the crime we know that they're guilty of, we don't know about everything else, but the crime we know that they're guilty of is trying to get people to laugh about something that is way too serious.
It's never funny. That is never funny. I would never, ever laugh at that. Yeah. But it was a whole lot of people that must have laughed at it to put all that energy behind the production of something like this. Ooh. And, you know, the thing is that anytime anything gets legitimate, it has to be accepted by Black people. I mean, we drive the culture, not only of our own Black culture, but we drive the culture of this world. Let's just face it.
We do.
That's we drive true. The culture. What's popular? What's interesting? It has to come through Black people.
That's true. We say many.
It's a formula that works. It's a formula. They don't have no other formula because this is the one formula that's always worked. Mm-hmm. And it always will work. And we always fall for it. And if they wise up and say, I'm not going to do this anymore, then back when you were doing it, this is what's going to happen. They can throw them away. But you know what? There's hundreds of others that'll stand right in line because they want the money and they don't care the effect that it has on our people.
Mm. Well, everybody, you listen to Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and this is my wife, Dr. Alicia Watkins. If you could take 1 second, please hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up. Subscribe to the platform. We're also on Spotify. If you look up the Dr. Boyce Breakdown on Spotify, you'll find the Pillow Talk episodes as well as a lot of things from my own podcast and financial updates and all the things. We do a lot of stuff over here, and we like to engage with our people. So find us on Spotify. Look up the Dr. Boyce Breakdown. And also, if you happen to have children and you want them to learn about economics, we designed some financial flashcards for children. One stack for investing. The other stack of financial flashcards is for entrepreneurship. We believe deeply that every Black child should be financially literate. Every Black child should know how to start a business. Every Black child should own shares of stock. So financial flashcards is a great way to get started. So feel free to visit financialflashcards.com. All right. So let's go ahead and stick a pin in terms of like some closing thoughts on this, kind of wrapping it all together. We started off talking about Kanye and whether or not Kanye was having kind of a mental health thing going on. I think my general conclusions on Kanye would be very basic. It would be in terms of Kanye specifically, it would be like, look, cut it out. You know, you're 45 years old. You're being cheered on by a culture that was created by racist people that encourages Black men to be immature. This is not the way to get your family back. This is not the way to get your children to look up to you. You know, telling 30 million people that their mama has diarrhea. There's nothing I see that would benefit an intelligent and a mature man who's trying to get his family back. But at the same time, I understand there's mental health issues going on. Get your medication. Let's figure out what the goal is. Your goal is not to please 30 million stans that are going to just cheer on anything you do because they will cheer you on into the graveyard. The next thing I will say is, generally speaking, to Black people and Black men especially kind of looking at this, I want to just apologize on behalf of all Black men over the age of 40 who've engaged in immature behavior. I want young people to understand you got to live your life different from what you see with some of the rappers. You have to be thoughtful about how the actions that you commit to now are going to affect your life for the next 20, 30, 40 years. And also, I would say that in general, when you pick a mother for your kids, you know, I'm not a fan of picking a Kardashian. No disrespect to Kim. You know, Kim's worked her hustle. She's made $1 billion. God bless her for that. But that's not a black woman to me on any level. That's not the kind of black woman I would roll with. There's nothing on earth that would get me to want to marry someone who's going to train my daughter to be in Playboy magazine. So that's my two cents, but I'm not speaking from a point of perfection. I'm speaking from a point of just honesty. So Alicia, I'll let you kind of give your kind of closing thoughts on this. Did you have any final thoughts you want to share?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, what Kanye West is going through right now is real to him. And I think that's what you need to keep in mind. When someone has bipolar and someone could be seen as paranoid, he doesn't see it as paranoid. He sees it as, no, this is really what's happening to me. It's real to me, and he's stressed out about it. So I think that the worst thing you can do is challenge somebody when they're in this state, because then they're just going to put, well, you're against me too, and it's not going to help. I think the best thing you can do if you have a loved one that's in this sort of state is to stay with them and show empathy to them about the amount of stress and the amount of pain that they're going through in that moment, and try to connect with them that way, and then gear them to more pro-health, pro-social ways of dealing with it. Say, you know what, let's put the social media down for a little bit and let's sit and have a conversation about the best way that we can plan to move forward. Okay, you said you had bipolar. What's your treatment look like? Are you meeting with a therapist? Are you meeting with a psychiatrist? Okay, you don't trust psychiatrists. I totally understand that. But let's think of great ways for you to be stable, because right now things are erratic. And I think that you can try to have common ground with people when they're in a state like this. Just, you know, my heart goes out to people around individuals that have to manage that. And my heart goes out to people who are really suffering, and it is a suffer, who are suffering with mental health issues. And I hope that they know that treatment is available. And guess what? Treatment for depression is 98% curable. I mean, we know what it takes to cure it. That's the most frustrating thing. And the reality is that 1 out of 5 people with depression actually get help. So there's a whole lot of people that aren't getting help. Wow. It's the saddest thing.
Mm-hmm. So let's do something concrete together as a group to let us know this conversation is bigger than just talking about what a rapper is doing. Everybody type the words "get help" in the chat. can everybody please just do that for me? Type the words "get help" in the chat, because I really want to encourage all of us to just be conscious about the fact that we have mental health challenges all throughout our community. Nobody's more traumatized than Black people. Nobody's dealing with more anxiety and depression than Black people. We got to get help, and help is out there. She just said that it's 98% curable. So everybody type the words "get help" in the chat, whatever that means for you, and I hope you'll do that. And by the way, Alicia's website is coachingwithdralicia.com. If you want to go and check out what she's got going on over there, she sees clients all the time. But generally speaking, wherever you go, just whatever you do, get help with your situation. There's always a solution out there.
Yeah. And I think like the problem is that there's so much stigma tied to getting help and to saying that you need help. Like, I think we need to switch that around. We need to start saying, okay, it takes strength to reach out for help, to ask people for help. That takes courage. You know, not to ask for help and to deal with it on your own, that's not courage. So we have to like change that sort of attitude where I'm just going to be independent. I'm going to work on it on my own. Well, you can never work on anything on your own. You can't be successful at anything by yourself.
Wow. That was heavy. Okay. Well, you know, I can say that I've had a therapist and it benefited me a lot. Even when I wasn't struggling, knowledge of self is always a good thing to have, you know, and I think that awareness is a lifelong process and something all of us should look into. And so one more thing I want to mention to everybody, in case you don't know, is we got this thing coming up called the All Black National Convention. It is an event for Black people who put Black people first. It's an event for Black people who believe in Black wealth. It's an event for people who believe in Black family. It's an event for people who believe in putting our children ahead of the curve. It's an event for people who believe in breaking generational curses so we can elevate. We have panels, we have speakers, we have breakout sessions, we have training on everything from crypto to relationships. It's an amazing event. It's going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina, October 28th through the 30th. So the date's coming up soon. So if you'd like to join us this year for the convention, visit allblacknationalconvention.com. We got some amazing guests this year. One of that I'm super excited about is Larry Miller, who is the chairman of the board at the Air Jordan brand. And he's a great guy, and he's done a lot of good work on mass incarceration. He also was able to accelerate that company from $300 million a year to $3 billion a year, to the point where Michael Jordan makes more money now than he ever did playing basketball. So he'll be one of our guests. Billionaire Mike Roberts is coming. We have a lot of therapists and experts from all different backgrounds. So if you'd like to join us, just go to allblacknationalconvention.com. And also, if you'd like to be a vendor, you can go to abncvendors.com. And if you have a Black-owned business, we have a lot of people there that want to buy Black, and we'd love to help support your business. And also, Alicia's got speed dating, and there's just a lot of fun. The convention is a lot of fun. So I hope you guys will join us at the convention this year. It's going to be in Charlotte, and it's going to be a blast. So there's the website. And also, do not pay the full hotel price. It's at the Downtown Sheraton Hotel. The regular rate is $300. We told them to give us a rate of $139. So if you book your hotel at the Sheraton, do not pay the full price. Tell them you're with our group and that you should pay $139, or you can go to abnchotel.com. So that's the information about the convention. I look forward to seeing everybody there. It's a great event. You're going to love it. And I can't wait to see you. All right. So thank you all very much for joining us for this episode of Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. I had a good time. Did you have a good time?
I had a good time.
All right.
All is well that ends well on this trip.
Yep. All's well that ends well.
Not so well.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about our car crash. Hey, y'all, look, we had a crazy car crash, and it was a mess, and it was in I'll tell you what, a couple more inches forward, it could have ended up very differently. And
that is very true.
We appreciate the well wishes of everybody who who was sending us messages and everything, because I was in shock. I was in shock for the entire next day.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still a little bit in shock when I think about it. It's weird when you have an accident like that, then, you know, it's driving's not the same. You know, you're just kind of questioning yourself, and you're worried about hitting something, and you're thinking about all the things that could happen. So fortunately, we were okay. And thank you all, everybody who was wishing us well on Instagram and everything else. It was pretty scary. I ain't gonna lie, it's pretty scary. So anyway, so everybody, please have a good day. God bless you. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you all soon. Take care. Hit the thumbs up button on your way out if you can, and I'll talk to you later. Take care now. Peace.